Sometimes we just take for granted, I think, our music and the specials and the choir, but I don't want to take it for granted. And I just want to thank everybody who has any kind of part in the singing and the specials. They're a blessing, and they just set the tone for the church service. I'm telling you, music has an attitude. Music has an attitude. And sometimes I just go, well, I just don't like the attitude of that music, but I love the attitude of our music. And so I appreciate it very much. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to 1 Samuel chapter 20. We're in the life of David. And I don't know, when I'm getting a message ready and I'm trying to, we understand this, that, and sometimes this needs to be reiterated, that in the New Testament, the Bible says that the Old Testament is for our ensamples. It's an example for us. And a lot of those examples are, hey, don't do it like this. Don't go the way of Israel. Don't disobey God. Don't have idolatry in your life. Don't do these things. And then sometimes there is, hey, do it like this. Have the faith that God would have you to have. Have leadership like Moses. And so there's a lot of examples. But every time that I try to put myself in the character's shoes, so to speak, and I have been thinking so much about David lately and the situation that he now is going to find himself beginning in chapter 20 and beyond. Really, it's the last part. We found that in chapter 19 that Saul is once again, now he's intensifying his persecution. He is intensifying his hatred towards David. He's intensifying where he just wants to make sure that David is off the is out of the picture. That David is actually killed. And we know that David and Jonathan have a friendship, and they're both really kind of confused about the bizarre behavior of King Saul. And it is a very bizarre behavior. The way he acts and the things that he says and the tricks that he tries to pull and all of those kind of things. And so David has been a national hero. I mean, everybody loves David. Except now, we're going to find David for the next 10 years, and this is just heartbreaking, that he's literally going to be on the run for his life. And it is, and in those 10 years of his trials and tribulations, he is going to learn how to be a leader. He's going to learn how to lead men. He's going to learn how to be a good king one day. He's going to learn how to write many of the Psalms. He's going to write many of the Psalms based on the experiences that he has. But I will tell you tonight, David has got some fear and he's got some frustration. And I want to preach on that subject tonight. So stand with me in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And I want you to look at, now David was human. Does everybody understand that? Everybody's human. And sometimes we can be overwhelmed by our situation. And I think David is in that spot right here. He's overwhelmed with his situation. Now, I will take you back in just a few minutes to verses 18 through verse number 24. And I do believe in those verses, David was in a better place. But David, in his fear and in his frustration of the moment, he sets himself back to go to talk to Jonathan once again. He has just left Samuel. Now, remember, Michael led him down the wall. He wrote Psalm 59. We'll look at that again tonight. As the dogs were yapping and howling, and it's almost like the wolves were after David, and then Saul was closing in on him to kill him. And David is let down by the wall by his wife, Michal. She puts a bolster and goat's hair to make it look like he was there. They finally come up on there, and David is gone. David runs to Saul. Sorry, David runs to Samuel. Samuel is the man of God. That's a good place to be. But in chapter 20, David comes back to, he flees Naoth and he goes back and he speaks to Jonathan. So notice with me just three verses tonight, and then I'll preach this message I think will hopefully be a help to us as David, as we put ourselves in David's spot tonight. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah. And came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity And what is my sin before thy Father that he seeketh my life? Now, I don't know if you see this, but I see fear and frustration of the moment. What have I done? David had done nothing. The only thing David did was play a harp and try to help Saul. But Saul doesn't like it because they sing that David has killed his 10,000 and Saul has only killed his thousands. And now Saul knows that the hand of the Lord is with David. How many times did we see that in a couple of messages ago, that the Lord was with David? And now there's an alliance with David and Jonathan. But David is almost like, Jonathan, why is this happening? Why is your father having such bizarre behavior? Why does he want to kill me? What is my sin? What have I done? And then verse number 2, and he said unto him, God forbid that this should happen. Thou shalt not die. Do you see the night? I mean, they're being naive here. Jonathan cannot believe that his father would want to kill David. Thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. So Jonathan is giving him the advice. You're okay. This is not going to happen. My father would have revealed this unto me. But we know that it is happening. We know that it is happening. There is an attack on David. There is the trying to kill David. There is the soldiers that have been sent. There's already the spears that have been thrown. In verse 3, David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. And you know, David was right. Amen. But David was maybe confused by the situation, frustrated by the situation, fearful in the situation. And so I want to preach on this subject tonight of fear and frustration that David is suffering from. But praise God, there's an antidote found in the Word of God. And while David doesn't write about it at this particular time, David is going to find himself in even greater opposition even in the future than he has right now. And there's going to be other instances. He's going to go to Gath. He's going to find himself where his own men want to stone him after the city of that was burned, and they had to go, and God was with David. Folks, listen to me. God has not forsaken us. It doesn't matter what the trial, the tribulation, the frustration, the fear, the uncertainty of the hour might come upon it. David is an example for us that God is with us. So let's pray. And let's look at this story tonight, if we would. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the humanity of David, that we can see, Lord, that he is definitely on the run now, and he's going to be going into the woods, so to speak, and the caves and the dens. And yes, we know there's going to be people that are going to come to him. He's going to have mighty men, an army. He's going to prepare himself to be the king. But Lord, if we could just think about his situation here tonight, how he has married the king's daughter. He has killed the giant Goliath. He's a national hero. He's been in the courtyard of King Saul. He is best friends with the king's son, Jonathan. He's played the harp. He's seen the back scenes of taking place in the king's court. And now he's on the run. And he is in fear and frustration in his life. And God, we sometimes find ourselves in those similar positions, just like David found himself here tonight. But may we find refuge in the Word of God. May we understand what the Scriptures tell us in times such as this. And then, Lord, help us to apply those things even to our life. And there may be, somebody may not be going through any great dilemma right now, but it's very possible it could be. And that they would use the principles that we're going to find from David, even as he wrote some things in the Psalms. Bless now the preaching, the reading of your word. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Chapter 20 shows us from this time forward, for at least the next 10 years of David's life, he will be a fugitive. He will be a fugitive in his own country. He will be a fugitive in his own land. He will have to take his mother and his father, and he will have to hide them because he knows that Saul could use his family against him. In the previous times of David leaving the presence of Saul, it was always temporary, and we would see that Saul would have the evil spirit, and then the harp would be played, and then Saul would be calmed down, and the servants of Saul would try to talk to Saul and get him to see the error of his ways and that he should not be doing this against David. And then things would calm down a little bit. David would be brought back to the court, or he would be brought back to the house of Saul. He would be brought back to the table of Saul, if you would. But not anymore. Not anymore. Because from this, while those were all temporary, now because of the animosity that Saul has against David, we will discover that the rest of Saul's life, David will be on the run. And there is some amazing stories about David's life and him on the run and some psalms. I'm going to incorporate some of the psalms as we go through the life of David. But let me just tell you something. David is going to suffer much before he becomes the king of Israel. You might say his road to the throne was not paved in velvet, but rather an extremely rough road filled with trials and tribulations and troubles. And isn't that the way life really is sometimes? Yes, it is. Job made a reference to that man's days are few and full of trouble. But what is important to understand is this, and this is where we need to not be negative in the times of trials and tribulations, but we need to be understanding that God will use the difficult times in our life to make us a better person, to make David a better king, to draw us closer to the Lord, to understand that we're to be in the image of Christ. Let me just tell you something. Jesus Christ did not have an easy road himself. I mean, He did nothing wrong. Of all people, Jesus had no sin. But yet we know that he was attacked by religion. We know that he was attacked by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers. And then on top of that, there were people that did not believe that he was the Messiah. Even after all the miracles that he did and all the things that he did, they rejected him. When the sayings got difficult, many of his disciples walked away, and he looked at his own disciples, those few there, and he said, "Will you go too?" And they said, "Where else can we go?" Folks, where else are we going to go but to the Lord? Amen. He is our refuge. Amen. He is our strength. And this is exactly what God does with many events in our life. Sometimes I think we might get too comfortable, and God has to shake things up a little bit in our life for us to understand that while we are looking at the trouble or the trial, God is probably looking at it in a totally different light. And he's saying things like, "Well, now I can mold you, I can make you, I can do with you as I please, I can conform you to the image of Christ." And I'm telling you that rough trials and troubles provide much opportunity to create good character in God's people. Now, we can also, in times of trouble, fail God, but we should not. So as we look at the life of David before he becomes king, don't view the difficult times of life as just a negative experience, because they may very well be some of the most profitable experiences in your life. You just say, "But while you're in them, you just don't feel that." That's just not what you're thinking about. But can I ask you this? Has God ever brought you through something before? Has there ever been a time when you look back in your life and go, "Man, that was a difficult time," but then you see that God brought you through on the other side? Come on. Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. So let's be reminded tonight that in the last chapter, David is running from Saul, and Saul tracks him down at the school of the prophets called Nahath. Now, first of all, I want to go back to Psalm 59 real quick. Psalm 59, and I want you to be reminded that this is the psalm that David wrote when Michael let him down and he escaped, and now he's going to be on the run. Psalm 59. I want you to see how difficult his situation was. Now, I do believe David feared for his life. And the reason I believe that is because he said in our text tonight, he said, Jonathan, wake up. There is a step. There is one step between me and death. There's only one step. If I step away, if I make the wrong step, if I go to the wrong place, if I am caught by Saul, I'm a dead man. And now let me ask you this. If somebody was after your life, do you not think there might be some fear there? So, absolutely. I'm just telling you. And so Psalm 59, David begs God to deliver him from his enemies, defend him, those that rise up against him. In verse number 2, he asks for deliverance from the workers of iniquity. He says, save me from bloody men. He said, they lie, wait for my soul. They are gathered against me. And then he says, it's not for my transgression nor for my sin, Lord, because I didn't do anything. But Lord God of hosts, verse 5, the God of Israel, can you wake up and visit the heathen? Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Now, God doesn't need to be awakened. God doesn't need to be awakened. He knows right where we're at. He knows right what we're going through. Everybody understand this? Then he begins to talk about these men and their attitude and their character. He says in verse 6, they return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Now we're not talking about dogs like that we have domestic animals. We're talking about wild savages. And that's the way David was looking at this. These wild dogs are yapping and they're coming after me, and I'm just telling you. But then he says in verse number 9, a lot of times you'll read David and he'll be like, Lord, help me, I wake up, Lord, help me. And then all of a sudden he'll turn and say, hey, God is my defense. God is my defense. Everybody with me now? God is my defense. In fact, you don't have to defend yourself. God will defend you. You don't have to bring vengeance on anybody. You don't have to get upset over the situation. I think God is very well capable of taking care of any situation. Yeah, but preacher, hey, listen, no worse than what David's going through. Come on now. The God of my mercy shall prevent me, verse 10. God shall let me see my desire upon my enemies. And let me just tell you, verse 12, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride and for cursing and lying which they speak. Anybody ever lied against you? Anybody ever said something that was not true? Isn't the natural inclination to just lash out? No. David said, God will take care of it. Everybody with me tonight? Yeah, let me just tell you, O King Saul sent those wild savages after David. But David escaped. He escaped. Saul did not kill him. But I'm telling you, it doesn't take away the fear. And it doesn't take away the frustration of the moment. Did you know that the heroes of the Bible are no different than we are? Did you know that the characters in the Bible became fearful at times in their life? They became frustrated at the situation that they might have found themselves in. Bible characters like David experience, and listen, don't you think David might be experiencing a little bit doubt here? Like, think about it. And he was anointed to be the king. He was anointed to be the king of Israel at a very young age. But nowhere did he sign up for this. I mean, in my mind, I don't know if this is true or not. I really don't know. But in my mind, don't you think David might have thought, wow, I'm in the king's court. I married the king's daughter. I'm just going to ride this out. I mean, this is going to be good. Saul's going to be the king. He's going to teach me how to be the king. And then one day when Saul passes off the scene, I'll be king. That ain't the way it happened. That ain't the way it went. You see, God had other plans. And God's plans were that David was going to be on the run. He was going to live under the stars in the sky. He was not going to live in the king's palace. He was going to have to learn how to lead men out there. He was going to have to learn how to deal with people. He was going to have to learn how to deal with situations that were overwhelming to him. And he would write about being overwhelmed, and I go to the rock that is higher than I. When I find myself in fear, I will trust in God. I will not fear what man can do unto me. David wrote those psalms while he's in this 10-year period that we're talking about. But we're not there yet. We're in this situation here. We're in the fear, the painful emotion, or the passion that it's excited by an expectation of evil, or the apprehension of impending danger. That's where David was. He was saying to his good friend Jonathan, "Do you not understand that I'm one step away from death?" Frustration, a sense of insecurity arising from unresolved problems. Do you think David's got some problems tonight? Do you think maybe there might be some insecurity in David's life as he says to Jonathan, "Hey, I'm just one step away from death, and I don't understand what's going on." So David was in fear and frustration of what life had brought to him in this time. Now I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice what David did. The Bible said in verse number 18 of chapter 19, now this is after Michal let him down and she had to give an account. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So look at what David did, verse number 18. So David fled and he escaped and he came to Samuel. Now I believe this is a good thing. And if you will read the rest of the story from verses 19 down to verse number 24, you will find out that as long as David was in the presence of Samuel, there was safety. Now, just read this. This is an interesting story. So he flees to Ramah. Samuel's there. And he and Samuel went and dwelt at Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, "Hey, David is at Naoth in Ramah." So Saul sends messengers. Now, here we are. Saul sends messengers to take David. You see that? Take David. Kill David. David is fearful because he says to Jonathan in verse 3, "Don't you understand that I'm one step away from death?" So Saul sends messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as an appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers and they also prophesied. Now this is hilarious. So the messengers come to take David. Samuel is standing between David and the messengers, and all of a sudden they begin to prophesy. Samuel is protecting David. I don't know how God's doing this, but they're not allowed to take David. So verse number 21, and when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers. He said, "What happened to the other messenger?" Well, they went down there to take David and they ended up preaching. Well, you say, that's kind of weird. Well, it is, but there's a safety thing going on here. Because anytime they get close to Samuel, anytime they get close to David, who is with Samuel, the messengers begin to prophesy. Verse number 21. So Saul sends other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied. Then went he. Now Saul says, "Well, I'll take care of this myself." But I want you to see that in this situation, that Saul at this point is not allowed to take David. Oh, well, maybe I should say this. He's never allowed to take David. Because God has His hand on David. Now, David doesn't know that it's not going to happen, because that's not been revealed to David that Saul's not going to kill him. But I'm telling you that Saul is not going to kill David. So look at the last part. And he went thither to Naoth, Saul did. And he said in verse 22, "Hey, where is Saul and where's Samuel and David?" And they said, "Well, they're in Naoth in Ramah." And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And then this is kind of bizarre, because everything to do with Saul is bizarre. And he stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner. He lay down naked all day that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, "Is Saul among the prophets?" Now, if you want me to explain all of that, I can't do it. But here's what I can explain. three or four times, God protects David from the aggression of Saul. Even when Saul, can you imagine? So Saul shows up, he's naked, rolling around on the ground, prophesying. And they're like, that's bizarre. It is bizarre. Yep. But God protected David. Now here's where I think the story makes a turn. And here's where I think David very likely made a mistake. He left Samuel. He left the place of protection. And he goes back to the place of Saul and Jonathan because he loves Jonathan. And in his fear and in his frustration, he says to Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? What is my sin before my father? You know, if you look at verse number 5, which we haven't looked at yet, but David said to Jonathan in verse 5, chapter 20, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat, but let me go that I may hide myself in the field under the third day at evening. Now, here's an interesting fact that's very possible. It seems like maybe Jonathan had made another attempt to Saul and say, listen, this is foolish. Quit acting like this. Bring David back. Why did David not go back? Because he was fearful. He was fearful. The reason I believe he was safe with Samuel is because Samuel was used by God to disable those that were attacking David. At other times, David had fled by faith. But let me just tell you something. Now he flees by the flesh. He's on the run. He is scared. And let me just tell you something right now. I want you to listen to this. The fear of the Lord will produce wise conduct. I believe we should all have a fear of God, a reverence. I'm very nervous. I'd be very careful how we approach the fear of God. God is a God that can do anything He so desires. And our life should be, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to bring reproach to Your name. I don't want to do anything I shouldn't do. Because if you fear God in the right way with a reverence, and you fear God in a right way, your conduct will be one way. But if your fear is over your circumstances, sometimes we act very foolish. David in the past had been strong and courageous and fearless. How many people do you know has killed a lion and a bear and a giant and Philistines and run from javelin's throws of Saul, but all of a sudden fear overcomes him? You know why? I'm going to tell you why. He's human. His faith is wavering. Lack of faith will always produce fear. It leads him to the wrong person, which is his friend, rather than staying with a prophet who had... let me ask you this. Who do you think is going to help you better in your faith? Samuel or Jonathan? The man of God, the prophet of God, the prophet of Israel, the one that everybody, or Jonathan. Now, I'm not saying anything against Jonathan. I'm just saying sometimes we listen to the wrong voices. Sometimes we listen to the wrong people. Who do you think would have been, I think it would have been better if he had stayed with Samuel. After all, has not Samuel showed that he could protect David in the verses that we just read? Who do you think would have been a better counselor to David at this time? Not only did David go to the wrong person, but he went to the wrong place. He went back to Gibeah. He left the Naoth, and he goes back to Gibeah where Saul lived. Now, how smart is that? You see, folks, when we're fearful and our faith is not in God and we're fearing our situation and we're frustrated of our situation, if we're not careful, we'll make bad decisions. Why would David go there? Because he was operating on fear. I believe David's fear caused him to put more faith in Jonathan than maybe protection from God at this point. Faith sees the positive, the flesh sees the negative, and David declared he was only one step away from death. One commentator said it like this: if he, David, had been living in the serenity of the trust in God at this moment, he would have known that the narrow space was not as good was as good as 1,000 miles, and that Saul could not force him to cross it for all he hated, for all his hatred and power that he had. That's what I'm, so it doesn't matter the hatred that Saul had, and it didn't matter the power that Saul had. God is greater than Saul. And God is greater than any of our tribulations or any of our problems or any of our frustrations or anything such as that. Not only was David fearful, but I do believe he was frustrated. After all, look what had taken place in his life. He killed the giant. The people of Israel counted him a national hero. He married the king's daughter. And now he's on the run. Would that be frustrating? Do you think it'd be frustrating when he would find out later on that his wife was given to another man? Do you think he was frustrated because of the bizarre actions and attitudes of Saul? Do you think he was frustrated that people were lying against him? Do you think he was frustrated that Saul is trying to kill him for no reason? Do you think he was frustrated when Saul threw a spear at him several times? That'd probably bring a little bit of insecurity, wouldn't it? Frustration is an emotion. It causes our breathing to accelerate. It causes us to maybe not understand what's happening. You know, sometimes we don't always know why we're going through something. Sometimes we find out later on maybe why we were going through something. We don't understand maybe the situation really fully, and then later on we may get a little bit more light about a situation. But frustration is definitely can be found in anybody, even David. I think frustration was found in the Apostle John, the beloved, who got fired up about those who opposed Christ and said to the Lord, "Hey, is it okay if we just call down fire out of heaven?" Jesus said, "Hey, I don't think you're John, that's not the way we do things. That's not the disciple life. That's not the Christian." Now, don't act like you've never thought, "Well, that'd be a good idea. I wish I could just call down some fire down from heaven right now." But you know what God? You know what Jesus is going to say? He's going to say the same thing to you he said to John. "No, sir. That's not the right attitude." You think it was frustrating? Don't you think it's frustrating when you do things right, but your situation is not what you thought it would be? Don't you think a mother can get frustrated when she cleans a kid's room and 10 minutes later it looks like a cyclone hit it? I heard about a greeting card for Mother's Day. It says this. I like this. "Motherhood is full of frustration and challenges, but eventually they all move out." Frustration is when your circumstances are right before you and standing toe-to-toe to you and nose-to-nose and you say, "No way," but it's still there. Frustration can eat away at your faith and create doubt. And this is where David is. "All right, preacher, well, that's a lot of stuff. What do you think we should do? What do you think, not what do you think I should do, what should we all do? What should David do?" Well, here's a couple of things. How about this? How about we just rely on the Lord? How about if we just rely on the Lord, David? You know, in Psalm 9:9, the Bible would say the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. You know, Brother Shorter alluded to this last Sunday night when he was preaching. What about we just resort to prayer? How about we resort to prayer? How about we go in our closet in our times of frustration? How about we find ourselves in the prayer closet in times of fear and frustration and maybe like pray Psalm 55:22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." How about prayer? How about rest upon the Lord? Well, preacher, all these things are easier said than done. Oh, believe me, I know. But they're still in the Word of God. Did you know 1 Peter 5, verse 7 is still in the Bible? "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." I want to close by going to Psalm 56. Now, I just want you to, again, I want you to put yourself in David's spot here of what's going on. He was protected. He's on the run. And by the way, there's going to be a lot of bad things happen to David. There's going to be more frustration, there's going to be more things happen than just this. Do you know David's going to find out he's going to go and he's going to get the sword of Goliath. And because somebody saw them, there's going to be people that are going to be killed just because of David showing up somewhere. I mean, I'm telling you, you can't make up the bizarre behavior of Saul. It's very bizarre, the things he does. How about Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby ye are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." How about we go to our theme? Faith over fear. How about we just believe God? But in Psalm 56, this was not written when David was in this situation. Later on, it's going to be written because the Philistines took him in Gath. But you know what? David wrote this psalm, but it could be applied to where he's at right now. In fact, it's very well. Not only was he thinking about his situation with the Philistines and the situation on the run, but he could be reminded back when Saul, when he said, "I'm only one step of death." But notice now what David says after some trials and tribulations have come upon his life. I just want you to listen to what he says, okay? He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high." And then he said this, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust." And then he says this, "I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Then he says this, "Every day they wrest my words." You know what that means? Every day they twist my words. Every day they say things against me. They wrest my words, and all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thy anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me." You see the positivity now coming out. "Lord, I'm afraid, but what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. Lord, I'll not fear what man can do for me. They swallow me up. They twist my words. They wrest my words. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm going to rely on the Lord. I'm going to resort to prayer. I'm going to rest upon the Lord. I'm just going to put my trust in Him." Amen. Who else are you going to put your trust in? And that's why he says in verse number 11, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death." And he did. "Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of thy living?" Here's what he said. Now listen, not only have you saved my life, but don't let me do anything that would cause harm to you. So you know what? Life does bring some fear sometimes, some frustration, some anxiety. And I'm not saying that we should be frustrated, and I'm not saying that we should be fearful. No, we should not, because if we rely on the Lord and resort to prayer and rest upon Him, He will give us the peace that we need to go through any trial or tribulation or situation that we find ourselves in. And you can ask the Dunlap family tonight, life can turn on a dime just like that. Just like that. But you know what? We need to praise God in the good times. But we also need to praise God in the difficult times. Because God is good all the time. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Yes, David had some frustrations and some fears here. But wow, I continue to read the Psalms like 59 and 56 and 61, where he says, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. When I am overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, sometimes we have to be put in a place of tribulation or difficulty that we might be reminded who God is and that He loves us and that He wants the best for us and He wants us to keep on keeping on for His honor and for His glory. Father, thank You for the Word tonight. Thank You for the example of David, that he was a human being.